Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember when my girls were young, and Pacha and I would bring them to their pediatrician for their annual physicals and shots. And the doctor and nurses were always real good about explaining what they were about to do before they did it. Our girls were often quite nervous about blood draws and finger pricks and shots and such. But somehow having the doctor and the nurses explain what they were about to do and how they were going to do it and how long it would take and such, somehow all of that helped the whole ordeal be more manageable for their little minds and bodies to process. I remember the worst was when we would have to bring them to some specialist or some other doctor that they weren't used to going to, a doctor who didn't deal exclusively with children. And those doctors would often begin to prod and prick and poke without explaining what they were going to do. I remember those visits never went very well. Somehow having an idea of what to expect helps us manage more effectively unpleasant circumstances in our lives. And thus, Jesus gave his disciples some heads up about things that are about to transpire in their lives. You know, 2 weeks ago we talked about Judas's betrayal of Jesus, which Jesus had predicted to his disciples was going to take place. And then last week we looked at Peter's denial of Jesus, again, which Jesus had foretold to Peter was about to take place. And now today we want to look at some words of consolation which Jesus gave to his disciples to prepare them for the feelings of isolation and fear that were about to befall them surrounding Jesus' death. And finally also concerning his ascension also. Our text today is three segments from different portions of John's gospel. But all three segments were spoken by Jesus on the night before his death, there on Thursday evening. All were spoken to his disciples as they celebrated the Passover meal together. And all were spoken in light of what was about to take place. Namely, his arrest, his trial, his condemnation, his flogging, and finally his crucifixion. With all of these things closing in upon Jesus within the next few hours, Jesus chose this time to speak these words of comfort and consolation to his very dear friends, the disciples, who incidentally had no idea how important and how relevant his words were soon to become. I'd like to read you again some of those words he said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, It would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. The time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In the hours that followed Jesus' death, but also and especially in the days to come after his resurrection and his ascension, they would come to know firsthand the hatred of the world. In fact, so much so that they would all be physically persecuted for their faith. And all of them, save for John, be martyred for their faith. Yet in the midst of all that was going to take place to them, Jesus wanted them to remember that they would not be alone, ever, but that he would always be with them. He wanted them to know that the things that were going to happen to them should be expected, because it happened to him. And since they belonged to him, it was only natural that such trouble should also come their way. And in the midst of all the hatred and all the trouble, they should know and they should remember that he was in heaven. He would be in heaven preparing an eternal home for each one of them in his Father's mansion. And thus they should be at peace. For since they belonged to Christ, and since through his death and resurrection, he would overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil, his victory over the world would become their victory over the world. Which should be the source and the reason that we have peace also, as we each face our own set of life's hardships and our own trials and our own persecutions. Jesus' words to his disciples on the night before his own death are also his words to us today. They are a reminder, first and foremost, that in this world, we are going to have trouble. And we should not think for one moment that life should go our way because we are followers of Jesus Christ. We belong to him, which we do. But it doesn't mean things are going to go our way. In fact, to the contrary, we should expect life not to go our way because we belong to Jesus. You see, good fortune and good relationships and unexpected blessings should not be seen as normative for our lives, normative for those who walk with Christ. But they should be seen as a gracious reprieve from the hatred and the trouble that would normally be thrown our way from the world. But secondly, I think Christ's words are a powerful reminder to us that in the midst of the turmoil and the trouble, can, we should have peace and be at peace. For in Christ, the eternal victory is ours. Because he conquered sin and he conquered the grave, so too will we. Through him, whatever we suffer in this world will be compensated by Christ 1,000-fold and then some in our eternal life and in our eternal room in heaven, which Christ Jesus is even now making ready for us. As much a part of Christ's death were the events of the betrayal and the denial, so too were his words of comfort and consolation. You see, Jesus loves us too much to leave us lost and alone in a world that hates us. And thus he gave to us a source of peace and a source of hope, a source that would sustain us until that day when he comes back to get us and to bring us to our Father's house. He gave to us these words of consolation. May his words fill you with his peace, that peace that only God can give. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior.